know why I just didn't start the recording this way.
I've done a jalapeno beer. It was fine to do it. Not something I'd ever pick up a 12-pack of and actually drink at home.
Well, you know, I had...
I think I've done a pepper one once or twice.
Yeah, I had a good habanero one over the weekend from Sideswipe Brewing.
I think I've done habanero,
yeah. They did it. It had some spice to it, but I didn't feel like it was overly spicy. And habaneros, if you do get the right usage out of them, they do have a nice kind of floral aromatic component to it. And I think that part came through in the beer. So yeah, I'll be interested to see as the show progresses here how this. This is a chili lime Mexican lager from a Parsons North Brewing Company, which happens to be right near the wife's office. So we actually surprisingly don't go there as much as I'd think we would since she works in that area. But it's probably because she gets off work earlier than I do. and we don't go back down to that part of town. So anyway, that is the... already early hashtag bell time beer of the show. This is Kevin DeFrango on the other end there talking about also beer was Chris Calamita. What's up, sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, just the usual this week. You know, work is starting to be just work and not new. So that is kind of nice and very, I'm very excited about that. So as things settle in here, we got some unsettling news. I didn't think that there would be another set of mass cuts in the WWE. Like, it seemed like they had, you know, gotten rid of about everyone necessary. Well, they proved me wrong. 10 people in NXT. I would say that, safely say that 4 of them are people that I would not be able to tell you about. And that's Vish Kanya, Paige Prisilavalli, Milan Milani, and Rylan Devine. Got no idea. Two mildly interesting ones. Harland was let go, which explains why he was absent from Joe Gacy's recent feud with... I was about ready to call him Rex Steiner, but Bron Breakker. So that kind of answers some questions, at least in that department. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, he seemed like he was filling the role okay. I'm not sure he's necessary, but...
Fine in the role. One thing that is being said, and that is that everyone newly signed to NXT since the change... and developmental since the changeover... is on, I believe, they're considered rolling 90-day contracts.
Okay.
Where WWE can cut them after 90 days if they're not showing proper improvement in that time period, which that doesn't necessarily sound like a lot of time to give people, especially if you are training them from scratch from another sport, like a Harlan. But they must not have seen that there was going to be a lot of potential in him. Obviously,
yeah.
When he came in, he bared a striking resemblance to Brock Lesnar. That's, of course, before they cut off all his hair. But, I mean, again, not a great loss either. You know, he was definitely put in situations where he did not have to do much. It was a very basic big man offense, and he was given nothing more than that.
There was nothing to write home about in his matches, but I also wouldn't go, oh yeah, he definitely needs to be cut, you know? Like, it sometimes I guess you don't see that level of bad on WWE TV too much, even now.
No. Once again, NXT 2.0 is definitely developmental, so you'll see more light in people's work. You'll see maybe a little more missed moves or what have you, as you're literally watching people try to figure it out on worldwide television.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty wild spot to be in. Yeah. But it is, I guess it is what it is at this point. If you sign with NXT, you know what's coming.
Yeah. So now, I mean, the guy absolutely... Did you ever see any of the pictures he put up, like, on Instagram when he bought, like, a new expensive car? And I'm like, dude, you're just an NXT, man.
Oh, no, I did not follow him on the old IG, so I'm not quite sure what his spending habits may have been like.
I think he was thinking that this was all a sure thing, which in today's WWE, I don't think anything's much of a sure thing. When they released Braun Strowman, all bets were off. As far as what they even value anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, and we still had a couple of surprises even after that one.
Yes, but that's the one that set the tone that, yeah, any of you, just about any of you except Roman Reigns could be let go tomorrow.
That was a big attention getter. So yeah, who knows? Like you said, like they see more of Harlan than we do. Like that's really the level that he was at.
Yeah.
And this other guy is kind of in the same boat. I feel like NXT had a few segments with Draco Anthony. He was trying to be recruited by Joe Gacy and not so much Harland, but and Zion Quinn was kind of helping him out at the time period. I guess it's always interesting when someone makes it on TV, and I guess I didn't, again, because it's developmental, I'm not expecting him to be a polished version of The Rock, you know?
Yeah.
I guess I thought that he did okay for himself, but it's hard to know, like, when you don't really have much to go off of, and that's why I guess I kind of listed him under interesting. He was out there, so... It's like, that doesn't seem like much of a chance. Then again, I don't know what they've seen previously. You know, I'm sure that there was more from him before now.
They've just signed so many people like him since. Bron Breakker, Gable Steveson, both the Creed brothers. It's like, you're looking for that amateur guy who was threw a bunch of suplexes. They've signed probably four other people who can do it better than him.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And now, now to the more interesting cuts here, because I think two of them are more in the cut department. And two of them have a even more interesting story. Persia Parada and Dexter Lumis are kind of bundled together in a somewhat similar category of release here.
Well, yeah, because they were in the same storyline that was ongoing for months, and even at a couple of points got like TMZ coverage about it. I don't know how that happened, but Dexter Lumis, a.k.a. Sam Shaw, was a baffling signing at the time. Older guy. At one point, may have been the worst wrestler on mainstream television when he was Sam Shaw on TNA. you know, kind of dropped off the map for about 5 years, and then got signed to NXT. Just because apparently he'd been working some indies, you know, I got kind of under the radar.
Yeah, you know, that was still the wildest thing. People are like, "Oh, he's been out there," and I'm like, "Huh?" Like, even at that point, I felt like you had started to, you know, like if someone got any level of indie buzz, it was out there.
Yeah, no, like I said, it was a weird signing, you know, an already older guy, but he improved. I mean, there was a very low bar to improve from, but he improved enough, and he was able to take his serial killer gimmick from TNA, essentially, roll it into NXT, and turn it into a babyface gimmick. yeah, it's again some really funny skit stuff. The wedding was one of the better segments like that on WWE TV, any kind of WWE TV in a long time. And they continue to do things with him and Indy Hartwell, even without Johnny and Candace to play off of. And, you know, it was working to an extent. Once again, it's mid-card comedy.
Oh.
Now, does it translate to the main roster? Would it be as funny on the main roster? I have no idea. But they seem to think that Mr. Loomis went as far as he could go.
And
they may not necessarily be wrong, but it is weird to do it right in the middle of the storyline that they'd spent months on.
Yeah. That is the weirdest part. Like, it's expected but unexpected, because at least some of these other guys have seemed to have gotten to finish out their storylines before getting written off. And it seems like they could have reached some type of conclusion, I suppose. Whether it's Duke Hudson kicking him out of the group, or, you know, I don't know what they end up doing. But you could do something to write him off rather than just let him loose. And I guess it was kind of interesting, too, then Persia Parada is one who was there kind of, she's, at least from what I read, she'd only been there a year?
She'd been there probably still under a year. You know, brought her over from Australia, and, you know, she and I believe Indy Hartwell, you know, best friends, that's completely 100% legitimate. And, you know, put them together. While she was getting her feet wet, she was actively involved in all the bridal party skits and things of that nature. Even when she barely had a handful of matches in NXT. You know, when Candace got pregnant, she was switched to being Indy Hartwell's regular tag team partner. They were a fine team. Once again, one of those things. Like, what is WWE looking for? She's absolutely gorgeous woman. She's got size while also still being an absolutely gorgeous woman. Her work was fine to good. And once again, that part that's kind of become the shittiest part of a lot of these releases, especially the NXT ones, is they bring these people over from other countries, or even if they're just live in another state, because if you work in NXT, if you have to be in the performance center every day, you have to live in Orlando, Florida. You have to uproot from where you're from to settle in Orlando, Florida. And to cut someone like that after, especially from another country, they cut someone like that after less than a year, that's a really crappy thing to do.
Yeah. It is not cool, because we all know that they're not making as much as the main roster people.
I mean, she had not had the opportunity to put down much in the way of roots here. You know, it wasn't like a Peyton Royce situation where she got married to someone, or you know, she's already got able to get married, stuck around long enough to have that happen for her. So I don't know what she's gonna do. She might not even be long for the United States of America at this point, because it was so, you know, quick of a in and out there. So that really sucks.
Yeah, I guess she's an interesting one. I'm not sure that AEW necessarily has room for her. I'm sure she could sign somewhere or just run the indies if she so chooses to get some experience. But yeah, I mean, that's I have no indications one way or the other. So yeah, that one will be kind of interesting. The other two that I book in the same kind of category, because it came out later that a little additional news on both Dakota Kai and Malcolm Bivens. It seems that they got released mainly because they declined to re-sign with the WWE.
Definitely Bivens. Not 100% sure on Dakota Kai, but I think it sounds right that was her situation too. Let's start with Dakota Kai, because she had been in NXT about 3 or 4 years. Always featured pretty much, given stuff to do. Had a good heel run after turning on her tag team partners at that War Games back in the 2019. Through her partnership with Raquel, and you know, she got multiple shots at the NXT Women's title. NXT-wise, Dakota Kai had a very good group. But she's in that mode that's not necessarily your typical main roster look or anything or working ability, or if there's, you know, her whole thing was kicking. Yeah, she said the girl who kicks. Well, we got a bunch of girls who kick on the main roster already, who do the leg kicks and the kicks to the chest and things of that nature. I could see how she would not be, you know, exactly what Vince McMahon is looking for. And it's another one of those signings that was Triple H trying to build a super indie while not thinking about what exactly is her ceiling on the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of sums it up. She is going to do great for herself. I love her wrestling, you know?
Yes.
If she sticks around, it would be easy to pick up, in, you know, whatever, if she does happen to go to, cause I wouldn't be surprised, I suppose, if AEW picks her up.
Yeah. I think of the releases, maybe in the last couple of releases, you know, in the, you know, post Tony Storm, I can see her being someone that they would pick up, yes.
Yeah, she's also going to be kind of small for the WWE main roster, which would have been kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But in AEW, not as much of a problem. So, yeah, she's one that could get a job there. It will be interesting to what she does. She already alluded to evolving beyond her name, her previous indie name. And I guess I don't know how quick this lot can work elsewhere.
I think it's 30 days. I think and 30. NXT is typically 30 days.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're right. It has been 30. So, yeah, I she's going to be too late to get in the Owen Hart Memorial tag t- or women's tournament thing, but she would work out well for them, because they still need more depth in their women's division just in general, and she would be a great addition for that.
Because I
guess I'm with you. Like, I don't know. Could she maybe get the championship in AEW, or is that still even too much of a ceiling for her?
It's possible, depending on, you know, a number of factors. I wouldn't say it could happen. I wouldn't say that. You know, I would say that she couldn't be TBS champion.
No.
Or even the big one. It's certainly possible.
Yeah. So she definitely has a little more of a ceiling in AEW than she would in WWE. Malcolm Bivens also, there is still really one manager in the WWE, that being Paul Heyman.
Yes.
No matter what kind of other moniker you want to label him under these days, is he just special counsel again now?
He's still special counsel. Yes.
Okie dokie. So only real manager in the game, Malcolm Bivens. They gave him more to do recently, but it just really isn't in their plan book for someone like him. Like, that was a baffling signing when it happened, honestly. Like, I have seen some of his stuff online that he posted, and the guy just cracks me up.
He is hilarious. If this was 30, 35 years ago, he would be Bobby Heenan. He would be managing everybody against Hulk Hogan, and he would be doing commentary, and he would be co-hosting Primetime with Gorilla Monsoon. But that's not that time anymore, unfortunately, for a guy like him.
So, I think he's better off elsewhere, wherever that elsewhere is.
I do too, and I think maybe he's even in his mind, you know, thinking about giving up wrestling entirely, going into comedy, going into acting. He could, and there's maybe a chance that he could do well, because he is a funny guy, and he's a funny guy in a very modern sense. So there are going to be people within WWE who weren't even going to get his humor. The stuff he does on Twitter, where he's, you know, even though he's a manager on WWE television on USA Network, he's still screwing around with people on wrestling Twitter and making fun of people, and he's a blast. But I can see how maybe some people in WWE would see him as a little more small time. Although they did offer him the almost manager position, apparently, but he'd already made up his mind that, you know, this. This atmosphere was not for him.
It could have been interesting, I suppose.
I think it could have worked. Oh my god, because of how short. I'm sorry. He's 6'4". I apologize. I'm sorry. But yeah, I think the dynamic could have worked. But I guess he'd already checked out maybe by that point. Now, granted, I did not know how much longer he would have had on his contract if they let it go all the way through, but they elected not to do that. He didn't seem particularly broken up about it either. So, no. You know, it's upsetting in the sense that we know what he could be. We have a good idea what he could have been if WWE would be a little bit more flexible with how they see managers. In today's WWE, but they don't. It's mostly Paul Heyman with one guy. MVP gets to be with Omos, but beyond that, there's there's not really any room for it.
Yeah, those both of them are special exceptions, honestly, because MVP is still a kind of a wild one to have stuck around, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild that they just threw him in a Royal Rumble a couple years back, and then kept around a little bit, and then hooked them up with Lashley. They started the Hurt Business. Yeah, it's pretty wild. But for Bivens, if he wants to stay in the wrestling business, AEW could absolutely utilize him. I'm not a big fan of Mark Sterling with Jade Cargill. I don't think they jive together at all.
No.
So if you want to switch out, Stokely Hathaway to be the new manager for Jade Cargill, that could work. You can put Stokely with a lot of people. Stokely and MJF might be fun. There'd be a lot of things he could do in a more manager friendly company.
Maybe rely on the manager a little too much sometimes.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be Arn Anderson and Jake Roberts waddling around.
Right.
Barely able to move. He would be your classic manager who would talk, and when it would come time for him to, he hasn't really wrestled in a while since obviously signing with WWE, but when it came time for it, he would, much like a Bobby Heenan, he would take his bumps and fly all over that ring for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that was always a fun part. You always wanted to see a Bobby Heenan ass kicking.
Yeah. and Mr. Now I've seemingly against Stokely Hathaway could definitely do that. He could definitely fill that role. So that makes him in many ways in every way but name value more valuable than Arn Anderson, Jake Roberts, Tully Blanchard, Taz, who's completely afraid, who's the youngest of them all, yet still somehow, yet still the most afraid of being touched. none of these managers take bumps. I mean, I guess Mark Sterling can work a little, but we really have not seen it because he only manages women. We really don't see him take any bumps. It would be he would actually be the one real old school manager there who would do the job that the traditional job of the manager.
Yeah, that's it should be, I would expect, a signing by AEW. Pending if he has other things going on. It does seem like a natural fit. And I know that Jeremy and I will talk about it, but all of these top four here were somewhat addressed on NXT tonight. And it was awkward.
I have not seen that yet. I'll probably not watch that until tomorrow. But yeah, I imagine it would be. They left Dakota Kai with nothing else to do.
Oh yeah.
But the other three were actively involved in featured acts or storylines.
Yeah, Kai had kind of, I mean, that weird reunion with Raquel Gonzalez was, well, weird.
You mean Raquel Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Who's now a baby face who has to smile all the time.
Oh, and I
really moving on now, I guess. That was a good segue.
I'm trying
to say so myself.
Oh man. Yeah. It's
what is this smiling thing that Vince is now obsessed with? He's got to make Raquel do it. He's got to make Ronda do it. Baby faces have to smile. I don't remember. Even the guys who were like Goody Two Shoes baby faces, like Hogan, I don't remember them having to smile the entire way down to the ring.
No, I don't remember Hogan smiling at all. Really?
No, no. It's weird. It's
unnatural.
It's the Rocky Maivia thing that you get a smile all the time. Like that didn't work. That's not what baby faces do when they're going into battle.
It's not what anyone does when they're going into battle, for Pete's sakes.
No, of course not.
It's the weirdest. Yeah, it's one of those weird things that Vince has, and Raquel doesn't need to be doing that, especially when she's going to be pummeling someone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's it.
Oof. Yeah. So, it looks extra awkward on her for, I can't completely explain the reasons, but, maybe just because she's a baby face and she seems to work better as a heel.
Yeah.
Is maybe the main thing. So, yeah, awkward, women's baby face is, it's a thing. And that was she on SmackDown there?
Yes.
I guess we really got the ball rolling on what will now be a new main event for WrestleMania Backlash. I would say that it started with it, not surprisingly, Drew McIntyre beating Sami Zayn on SmackDown?
No, that part's the least surprising thing of all. The surprising thing is, yes, after weeks of building to and promising this this title unification match for the tag team championships, it's not happening.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice. I think we both agreed that it would probably work out for the best to have a unification of those belts on previous shows.
Yeah, I was definitely for it, and maybe it'll still happen, but someone somewhere along the line decided that Roman Reigns needed to have a match on this show, but he didn't have to defend the title against anybody to have that match.
Yeah, and I guess it is always interesting when Mr. Reigns puts himself in a match. And since we needed
it. We're obviously heading down the road to Reigns versus McIntyre, but they don't want to do the one-on-one match at WrestleMania Backlash with a short build. That's understandable. With Hell in a Cell coming in early June, I'm not sure if that's the right place for that match either, but then again, what do you do with both guys then after you've already done the six-man tag? Unless you take that same six-man tag and put it in the cell for some reason. Which maybe is possible.
Yep, it's I would not rule out that option.
No, so that way you can stretch Reigns versus McIntyre out until Money in the Bank, which would make sense. The big show in the big stadium before the other show, the other big show in the big stadium 4 weeks later, you can do Reigns versus McIntyre there. Unless you do want to get McIntyre out of the way by Hell in a Cell, so you can move Cody Rhodes in that position. But we shall see. Bottom line is, they weren't willing to sacrifice what value Reigns versus McIntyre has on WrestleMania Backlash with a short film.
And it does kind of put to bed a story that I do think that we at least touched on. The storyline coming out of WrestleMania for Roman Reigns was tag team unification. Like, he left himself without an opponent. I'm not sure necessarily that Drew McIntyre is built into it. But I feel like we've talked about him consistently as one of the few options for Reigns to have as an opponent.
Yeah, I mean, he's Raw does, Reigns holding both belts does create more options, adding in some people from Raw. But over on SmackDown, yeah, McIntyre is pretty much the only option. Maybe they could have gotten Nakamura, a pay-per-view out of Nakamura, but Nakamura has just not been featured well enough, I don't think, for it to be a serious challenge.
That would be the most unserious challenge I've seen in a long time for a big championship. If Nakamura would have gotten in there at this point.
Yeah.
So, McIntyre definitely is one of the few ways to go, so I'm not surprised that they are headed this way. Also not surprised that, yeah, like you said, short notice, it makes sense not to go in on it. I guess I'm still not quite sure why the need to put Reigns on the card, I suppose.
Because the card's not looking too hot. Because they put Reigns and Brock Lesnar on the poster, on the original poster.
And neither of them were going to...
It definitely wasn't going to be there.
I guess you need to deliver one of the big superstars here.
You buy tickets to a WWE pay per view. I think you're expecting to see Roman Reigns in that main event. So, and the good folks at Peacock and NBC are, I'm sure, looking for Roman Reigns on these shows as much as possible. So here we are, and it's a 6-man tag with the champion involved, and no unification.
I guess that's a thing. That was kind of a big thing that, I'm not going to say dominated, SmackDown, but it did take up, parts of that. I'm scrolling through here to see what else happened, and whew, man, SmackDown is kind of rough. I am really excited about the fact that Xavier Woods has named his small package. I'm not sure that is necessarily going to get you into the main event. But I appreciate the level of execution that he has shown in his small packages to boot. I feel like many a person screw those up these days. And for him to really get his legs crossed and get it cinched in there is, and I will say that.
it's fun when someone can win that way and plays up that they win that way, and it isn't ashamed of it.
That's kind of interesting. It, I guess it was also, I don't know what they're doing with Butch, man. Do you think that Pete Dunne is someone that could, hit the, proverbial, chopping block?
Oh no, they're having way too much fun with this.
Okay.
Yeah, no. They're enjoying themselves. With his portrayal of Butch, so in that respect, he's actually pretty safe, I think.
Just because was he on TV at all? Like, they actually kept him off TV this week, correct? Because he was lost.
He's been lost. They had a little fun with it on social media.
Okie dokie.
They booked this to entertain themselves. Vince and Bruce, etc., have booked this to entertain themselves. So in that respect, he's safe and protected right now.
Fair enough. Was there anything else from SmackDown? Oh man. I immediately felt bad for the participants in the Beat the Clock Submission Challenge when I saw how much time was left on that show. I was just like, this isn't going to be good. Not that I expected a 15-minute draw, but... I didn't expect $1.41 is the standard, but I kind of knew that it was coming when they had maybe 10 minutes left on this show to wrap things up. Oof, felt bad for both Shotzi, and even though Aaliyah beat the time. It's not really great to be nearly tapping at $1.42. Or no, not nearly tapping at $1.42.
Not the best portrayal of two effort covers on your roster, especially when the roster is so thin. You do not need to be doing this. Why couldn't they just get two local jobbers to play the role? Two local indie workers to play the role. You did not need to do that to Shotzi and Aaliyah. I mean, Shotzi is obviously still dealing with a number of things. So, if you don't have anything good for her, maybe just let her stay home a little while longer. I saw that she got to go on the European tour. It seems like she had a good time, and maybe that helped her spirit some. But... yeah, putting her in these situations, and Aaliyah, has gotten nothing but banana peel wins and whatnot since being brought up to the main roster after so long in NXT.
Aaliyah's a mystery as to why she is still on the roster. That's one that I just... at this point, don't get. It didn't seem like they trusted her in NXT. It doesn't seem like they trust her on the main roster. Why are you keeping her? Like, she's not even doing something like I know that's taken Dana Brooke a long time, but she's found herself a role on the 24/7 comedy train.
Yeah.
You know, and Aaliyah hasn't even found that type of a position at this point. And I don't get it. She has been around all too long. Like, yeah, not really wishing ill will on her specifically. It's just, it's strange with cuts with, yeah. She would seem to belong in that category because they haven't, yeah, they just really haven't shown any faith in her. It's strange. So yeah, I felt bad for both of them. They deserve better than that. Raw. So yeah, the Roman Reigns stuff takes up a decent part of things. Anything stand out to I've got to admit, I hopped in an hour or two and did not see the Veer match or the Street Profits Ezekiel six-man tag match. But those do not look interesting at all.
A Veer squash segment, it's a Veer squash segment. It's what they're doing to get the guy over.
Yes.
And then the six man, it was a decent fun match. Don't know why they're pinning Ezekiel already. That was weird. But I guess overall you didn't miss anything though.
Yeah. Now I did end up catching all the stuff with Edge and Damian Priest here. And yeah, I guess they gave a little bit more of a mission statement here and is this the first time they mentioned being named Judgment Night?
Judgment Day.
Or Judgment Day.
I think he said it when he did his backstage promo last week. I think I said it, but I'm not 100% clear on that. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this at all. I don't understand Edge having to take this direction. We just got rid of the Fiend. I have zero idea what's going on with Alexa Bliss. We did not need somebody else to take up the spooky mantle, especially someone like Edge, who is like, once again, his reasons for turning heel and taking on this persona are so flimsy.
Yes.
I can't get past it. He was getting the biggest cheers on most shows that he was on. I think that's fair to say. Yet he's trying to say that people have turned against him, and it's hollow. It makes no sense. And it's just clouding this whole thing for me. I just can't accept it.
Well, we have two guys in the same but opposite position. AJ Styles is still basically just a baby face because Omos realized that he was being used by AJ Styles.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really deserve any baby face sympathy that he is in fact getting.
But he does get to live off of his reputation just being AJ Styles. So
yeah.
The audience is with him.
Yeah. For sure. It doesn't mean that there's a good reason for the crowd to be with him. I guess he has been wronged by Edge at this point.
Yeah.
So he definitely has at least more reasons to be a babyface building for him. It's whatever, I guess. I'm interested, I suppose, in seeing some AJ Styles versus Edge. I suppose I've said it before. Sometimes maybe I should just skip to the pay-per-views. Might make things a little less painful. Be a lot harder to do podcasts, though.
That's true.
I am not sure what to think of the Mustafa Ali stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Taking pins now back now in the second week back, and a pin from the Miz, not even theory. Who's the one getting the big push? It's very apparent that they're not really gonna push him.
Yeah, it just feels like they're like, we know that you want out of your contract, but we're gonna make you work through it until the end.
I don't see this going great for him. It's pretty obvious, you know, Theory's getting the big push. He's not losing that U.S. title to someone, in Ali's position. They've got super big plans for him. So, it sucks for Ali.
Hey,
then again, I don't know. He's still getting paid. And I'm not sure where else in the wrestling business he fits in. Once again, not everyone can go to AEW and make an impact.
Yeah, he would be an interesting case, I suppose. 'Cause he's kind of on the mid-30s side of the ledger.
I think so.
And I mean, he had some previous exposure, but he doesn't have the longtime cred of a lot of people that are over in AEW, I suppose, that they've brought in that have New Japan and or ROH ties. It will be interesting to see where he goes, if he does in fact go somewhere. But yeah, I don't know. I do really think that they're going to hold on to him for the length of the contract. I suppose I'm not going to talk about Nikki A.S.H. versus Dana Brooke as far as the match goes. Do you think it's minimal good news to see, and I can't remember, Doudrop probably teaming with Nikki A.S.H. in the future moving forward?
It's as good as anything as you could do with either of them.
Yeah.
You know what, just get Nikki out of that outfit. It didn't work. It wasn't going to work.
It worked for the minimal time period that it could work. I think people were behind it to start with. That gimmick also, though, like, once you become champion, you've got to stop pretending you're almost a superhero. Like, you kind of need to move on from there.
Yeah. No, everything about that was done entirely too quick. Maybe it was a little harsh, but I said it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work the way that they were doing it.
Yes.
100%. If they'd done weeks and weeks and weeks of vignettes and skits of her training to be a superhero, I mean, literally, I brought this up last year. I'll bring it up again. Shane Helms and Molly Holly are literally working backstage in that company. They could have done Hurricane and Mighty Molly skits with training her to be a superhero. They didn't do any of that.
Yep. Yep. There was a lot of gold to mine there that was not mined at all.
there was gold to mine. A female superhero calendar could be popular with kids if done right, but it wasn't. So it's for the best to cut your losses.
Yep. So yeah, I do think that this is a best case scenario for both of them at this point. It doesn't feel like they were gonna push Doudrop in a singles position. Nikki A.S.H. needed out of that character badly, and it seems like a tag team's the way to go, even if they end up being a speed bump for Naomi and Sasha, which I would be kind of shocked if they end up being, you know, beating those two, honestly. But, you know, hey.
I don't know who beats Naomi and Sasha. They might just retire with those belts.
They'll put together some super group at some juncture that will make a little more sense. But yeah, it's going to be tough to take the belts off of those two, honestly. The blows keep coming between Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. What do you think about all the jibber jabber between these two superstars?
It's fine. It's good. I have no problem with it. And their match on Sunday is interesting in that if Cody beats Seth again, that should set him to be the next big contender, because Seth is the number two heel in the entire company, and if Cody beats him twice, that should really set Cody up for an early match with Roman Reigns. Cody can't lose. So I'm actually looking at a disqualification finish that lets them take this to Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they stretch this feud out. Like, I've enjoyed it, even considering that it was kind of a known unknown, I suppose, for WrestleMania. But things have run pretty well as a feud, and I definitely think that they can carry this thing out longer if they want to.
Yeah, they definitely could, but you know, it's so imperative that they get any thought of 50-50 booking out of their heads here. Cody can't lose.
Oh. Yeah. Well, and not even...
We've got something special here.
They even occasionally do that awkward... someone gets two consecutive wins, and then someone gets their win back in the third one, and it's just like, ah, oh, God, you just ruined it for everyone. What are you doing? So, the WWE and 50-50 and or bad losses, there is a litany of them. So, Cody, even the wife, every time she hears him come out, and I don't think she heard it this week, but she always pays attention to how much the crowd's popping for him.
Yes, they are. And you can't risk that.
Uh-uh.
He feels different. He feels like a big star coming over from another company. He feels like he doesn't, maybe he doesn't totally belong in the WWE system. That's a good thing.
Oh. I mean, considering that him and Seth Rollins are closer in size than him and Mr. Reigns, he's not completely in the WWE mold. I would have to agree with that. But yeah, the WWE has really done a good job of treating him is a big deal. And I would be shocked if he took any type of a loss in this one.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that isn't for another week, if I'm not mistaken.
That's Sunday. It's 5 days away from
where, okay.
From recording this.
I, you know what? I think I put it on the calendar and then forgot where I put it. That's awful. But also the reason why I put a reminder on my calendar. last order of business, I suppose. The WWE closes two back-to-back shows with women's matches, Raw and SmackDown. Get women's main events. This one was Bianca, Asuka, and Liv Morgan taking on Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, and Sonya Deville, who was stripped of her powers.
Yes, Sonya, stripped of her powers. This was a lot of fun. Definitely a fun match. You almost get the... It's almost had the feel of a dark match, and then it was just this fun match to have where the baby faces went over. Nothing really happened during it. Bianca has no opponent for Sunday, so we're just not going to have her on the pay-per-view. You know, which is a weird call. And then they're not going to do any other women's match besides the I Quit match between Charlotte and Ronda, apparently, at this point. Because they've already announced the SmackDown Women's Tag Title match for, I think, like a week from Friday, this coming Friday, actually, that they're going to do that.
Okay.
Sasha, Naomi, Natalya, Shayna match. So, no women's tag title match. They didn't announce anything. Now, you know, Rhea versus Liv or Asuka versus Becky. They really could have just done the six-woman tag at the pay-per-view, too. But apparently they got other plans. I don't totally get it. Once again, this match was fun. You know, maybe faces went over, but nothing really happened either.
Yeah, the biggest news maybe was the fact that Liv Morgan was the one to actually make the pinfall.
That was a little interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that I still don't think she's going to beat Rhea in their feud. But it was an interesting call to at least give her a little bit of credibility heading, or at least a little extra credibility moving into that feud. So, yeah. Anything else to cover in the wrestling department? I don't really have a whole lot for Rampage this week.
Nope, I actually have not had not seen it. So, I guess we can check out of here.
And I'll tell you what, this chili lime Mexican lager from Parsons North, they did do a good job of making it spicy without being too spicy. The lime part definitely makes it feel very Corona vibe with a little bit of that extra chili kick to it. So yeah, this is one that is just local here to Columbus. So yeah, not a lot of people are going to be getting this one, but it's the hashtag Bell Time beer of the show anyway, because it was in my fridge and I wanted to have it tonight. Nice light beer. Have a good night, grandkids. That is at DeFrango 11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.